Been blessed to do a song, and you've heard of A Wing and a Prayer. I believe this is a song and a prayer, and I invite and encourage everyone. It's a very short song. I'm sure once I start, you'll know the words. Find the right gear. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, we'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Begin to see, well, again, it's fun saying some of those words. I am Betty Cheese to be here this morning. That means happy. Betty Cheese. Happy, happy, happy. Anyways, I don't know how this is going to go. It could be long. It could be short. It's going to go how God wants it to go. I'm kind of saddened Ron and Barb's not here this morning, as with many others. The Terrells, Todd. Glad to see you folks. Glad to see all of you. Been quite a trying, life is trying. But is it not amazing the God that we serve, who created us, knows everything, and just longs to envelop us in his arms. You know, one of the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second greatest, of course, as you know, is to love your neighbors yourself. And I guess if I was going to title this message today, it would have three categories. And I believe these are what God laid on my heart, is love, honesty, and forgiveness. And I've been struggling in two of those three areas. He enlightened me and transformed me years back regarding honesty. And Ron was going to be part of the message today, and he still is. But praise be to God. We was up here some years ago, and we was doing some work in the church. And I told him I had to leave. I'll be right back, you know, back in the short. And I told him something. I can't remember what it was, but I left, and I come back. Well, lo and behold, the Holy Spirit convicts me, you know, you just lied to Ron, and you didn't leave for why you said you left. You left because you wanted to go smoke a cigarette. So that being said, honesty. Sadly enough, I still smoke. Not proud of that, but I'm not going to stand here and lie. I'm not perfect. None of us are. And you know, Brother Ron, bless his heart, he didn't get angry. He didn't get mad. But he just very sternly said, Don't lie. Echoed about like that too. I need to have a microphone. But I praise God for that, you know, because if you think about what God thinks about lying, I'm sure probably all of you know about the story of Sapphira and Ananias. Aren't you glad that God don't kill those who lie? I'm pretty sure if he did, this would be an empty planet. With that being said, when you look in the book of John, chapter 1, I mean, that there right there just really starts it off for me. So, if you're of a mind to and willing, the book of John, chapter 1. This is going to be a kind of a hit, skip, miss. And if you want, just write them down. But I encourage you to get in His Word every single day. You know, you don't have to put an hour in or 2 hours. But pray and get in His Word. And He'll let you know how much time He's going to feed you. Because that's what it is. Right there in the beginning, it's there in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, I know a lot of this is rhetoric to many of us, but, you know, there is so much information within these pages. I just don't know if a person could live 10 lifetimes and completely grasp all of it. I don't think that to be possible. You know, we serve a God who has no equal. Everything about Him is immeasurable. That is music right there. Praise God. So you got to go to Hebrews chapter 4:12. You don't have to, but I every time He gets me in His Word, and when He really gets me in His Word, it is proven that this next passage is nothing less than true. Because it's exciting, it's thrilling, it can be exhausting, overwhelming, inspiring. There's a long list of numerous words involving emotion that is within these pages. But in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword." It is very much alive. And, you know, when Christ was led into the wilderness by the Spirit to be tempted by Satan, Satan used, as you know, partial scripture to trip him up. Well, as we all know, Christ used whole scripture and defeated him. So, in looking at that, yep, it's here. I know it is. Ephesians chapter 6. That's another thing I like to surf through His Word. Let Him lead you. Let the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's a He. And I praise God that as Christ ascended to heaven, He sent Him, the Holy Spirit, to dwell within us. But in Ephesians chapter 6, did I read that right? I should have worn my glasses, I apologize. And this is going to be actually reading from 12 through 18. And, you know, I know we all know this. But as a reminder, as we all know, this body of believers has been struggling. You know, we've had our ups, we've had our downs, we've had Many people leave. We've had some people come on. And we have Nathan over there, and his wonderful family's been coming. And I haven't met you two folks yet, but I promise you, I look forward to introducing myself to you. I met Jacob this morning. That was pretty great. And it's wonderful to see all you people. It really is. And our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but as humans and as fleshly as we are, that's what we make it regularly. And as it says, for our struggle was not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now it says, therefore, to take up the full armor of God. And this is key, and this is something we need to do every day. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and taking the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Did you get that? Everything else that we put on, as he instructs us in putting on his armor, is so that we can defend ourselves from the attacks of Satan and his demons as God allows. But the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And again, you know, as it says, the Word of God is living and active. And he has shown me that in just the last few short weeks. I was in discussion with an individual who was in belief of, initially they was going with the Big Bang Theory. And then they thought they'd throw in a little bit of evolution. And praise God, he's like, okay. He asked me, he's to ask them. He says, okay, so where's your proof? And they stammered and tripped and fell. And I said, well, you know, picture anything that explodes. Where's any creation in that? An explosion causes only one thing, it's destruction. And your evolution, you know, sorry folks, if we've evolved from apes, you know, and it's been 2,000-3,000 years, don't you think we would have evolved into something else by now, you know, really? And they couldn't. They didn't. They ended up put their head down, and I said, well, I have proof about my Lord. His word says, his word is alive. His word is truth. You cannot argue with truth. That's one of the things, you know. We hear all these 4-letter words, and sometimes 5, 6, 7-letter words, and sometimes words that have how many syllables we don't know, and they're ugly, horrific. They're curse words. They're just ugly. But that one word that has 5 letters in it, nobody wants to hear it. Truth. Well. You're probably not going to like me because truth is just that. And you think about it. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Don't get any plainer than that. And, you know, when you look at the book of James, chapter 1, verse 22, you know, it doesn't matter if you read and know every word within these pages. We're called to be doers of his word. We have to make application. You know, and also we got to remember that Christ is the only perfect one that ever walked this earth. And I love it how he says that we are to take his yoke upon him and learn from him. You know, when you think about, there's just no doubt, I mean, and I'm sure some of you probably heard me say this, as Christ hung and died in our place on the cross, and everybody's yelling, you know, get down. You know, if you're who you say you are, get down. All he said was, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. If that would have been me up there, I said, I'm killing you first, and you're second. And that's where this wonderful, wonderful thing comes into play, and it's called grace. And this is wonderful. In the book of John, chapter 1, over in verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that's a really, really wonderful, amazing thing about Christ. You know, for me, and I would say most any Christian, we either practice grace or we practice truth. The day will come, praise be to Him, when we are righteous, standing in His righteousness, by His righteousness and His holiness. But Christ, He didn't practice 50% grace, 50% truth. He lived 100% grace and 100% truth. I recently learned an acronym about grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. You know, you think about how much our God loves us, and then you think about how little we're willing to sacrifice to keep in His Word, to pray, to love one another. By the way, honk, honk. I enjoyed that message Brother Mike brought. You know, and then last week, the prodigal son, you know, there's times I feel like the prodigal son. You guys know I haven't been here much. In flesh, I've not been here. I pray for everybody in this church every day, and I don't boast about that. I praise God for that, because it is He that reminds me and enables me to do so. And, you know, I have to ask for your forgiveness. You know? And it's not so much that I have to. See, that's the great part about God, is He could make us love Him. Say, my beautiful wife over there. And there's proof positive right there that God is real. She's put up with me for 28 years. I love you. And I'm still walking around without any limps. God's very, very real. And so say that I meet her one day and I say, hey woman, guess what? Get over here, you're mine. This is what's going to happen. This is how you're going to be. I don't care. Love me. Cook my meals. Wash my laundry. By the way, you're having children. Get ready. You know, that ain't love, folks. That's slavery. It is humorous, isn't it? I think any man in their right mind would be honest enough to say, you ever try that once? Guess what? You're going to be looking at the bottom side of the daisies real quick, as you should be. But we serve a God of love, and our God wants us to love Him. You know, His Word says as we draw near to Him, He will draw near to us. Is that not amazing? You know, and I had such a wonderful experience Friday. I can only praise God for this. I got back from work, and I always stop at Hermitage, PA, and pick up about 31,000 pounds of steel and bring it back. That's what they make the steel doors with where I work. And And I back into the receiving dock, and just everybody there's, for the most part, is wonderful. And I say that because we're humans and we have bad days. But there's Liz, bless her heart. Liz, when I first started, worked over in shipping and got all my bills and everything ready and handed them to me. Now I went. Well, she went over into receiving. And so I asked her, I said, "So, how are you?" She said, "Good." She asked Ma how my week was, and I said, "Good, better than last. Last week was good, but last Friday sucked. But this past week was good, even though the weather was crap on crackers, doesn't matter." But the what was the amazing part here, and I hope I'm not putting anybody to sleep. And if I am, well, I guess you have to listen to it and catch up. But here I was blessed, and I mean blessed, and sharing with my sister in Christ, asking, "How are you?" And you know, people, they generally, you ask anybody, "How you doing? Hey, Mary, how are you?" I'm asking you, "How are you? Really? Are you really? Really?" Nothing wrong ever, nowhere. Not for this hour. That's a good deal. Appreciate that. Well, Liz, bless her heart, she was honest as Mary. And she says, "Well, you know," she says, "I've really been struggling with anxiety and fear." Well, I didn't want to pry. And I'm pretty certain it has something to do with her children. They do that to you. We all know that, those who, "She's going to do that to you." But that's okay. they're wonderful, even when they're, AJ turned 24 Friday. Our daughter turned 18 the 2nd of February and graduates this year. And I miss those years. They're so much easier. You think they get older, it gets easier. No, it gets harder. Anyways, I really felt led right then and there. And I asked this wonderful woman, Liz, I said, "Well, if you want, we can have prayer right here." And she's like, "Yes." And then I said, "Is it okay if I put my hand on your shoulder?" She said, "Yes." So I put my hand on her shoulder. Praise be to God. I am unaware that I'm about to experience something I've never experienced before in my life. I have never in my life felt the way I felt through that prayer and during the prayer and after the prayer. And I'm telling you, you will not ever know what I'm talking about until you experience it, and I can only praise God. And at first I was like, "She's going to think I lost my mind." I couldn't help it. "Did you feel that?" And her complete being answered my question. "Yes, I did." The power of the Holy Spirit is just, He just all-consuming. And I can't dance. I can't. I just can't. You know, there's a movie out years back, "White Men Can't Jump, Fat Men Shouldn't Jump." Those who can dance should, those who can't shouldn't. But let me tell you, it took everything I had to keep from doing some sort of funky motion in shipping department flight, because it was awesome. Anyways, all that being said, we're to love one another. You know, and we can only love, as you know, because God loved us first. He loved us so much that He allowed His only begotten Son to come and die on the cross, to become sin. And praise be to Him, we're under grace. And shame on any of us, And I say, especially myself, if I can go through this life and say, well, you know, I'm saved. He died for me, paid my debt. So I can just sin away? Well, sorry, I already sin all I want, and I sin more than I ever want. Seems like so many times the harder you try not to sin, the more you sin. That's when we try to take control. We need to just stop being ignorant to the fact that there's nothing we can do but sin. It's our nature. But by God's grace, as we strive to be obedient to God and get in His Word and learn His Word, let Him teach us His Word, He will bring to memory every time that passage that you need to know for that exact moment. And let's, as His Word says, think of others more highly than ourselves. You know, I should think of Rodney as important, more important than me. I should think of every one of you as more important than me. Now, that doesn't mean I'm supposed to neglect myself and abuse myself, no. I like how I heard a gentleman say that, and I praise be to God that this is how it is. And my wife knows that she's number two in my life. God is number one. And to be honest with you, if she was number one in my life, I couldn't love her the way He commands me to love her. But since she's number two, He's first. And with her, He's first. Therefore, she loves me all the greater. Heard a guy say one time, and I can agree with this wholeheartedly, God never, ever, ever has ever God given me anything I wanted. I have prayed and prayed and prayed. He's never given me a house that I wanted. You know, He's never given me the place of employment that I wanted. And some of you might be shocked by this, but He never even gave me the wife that I wanted. Awkward silence. You know why? Because He always gives us better. When I look back into my little brain cell and think of the different females, that I literally prayed that God would, you know, that's the one. Every time that song of Garth Brooks, Unanswered Prayers, comes to mind. Thank God for unanswered prayers. Because, I mean, don't get me wrong, you know, I'm not wanting to be mean and cruel here, but the reality is just that. Whew. Wow, and that's ready to go out? No thanks. And that's wrong to be that way, but if we're going to be honest, you know, I mean, trust me, I feel so sorry for my wife. Luckily for her, she always wakes up after I've been up for a bit so I can do something with this. It's not that pretty. But anyways, getting back to the point. God's Word says if we cannot forgive each other, guess what? I don't care how much you think you're saved. If you cannot forgive, regardless, you will not be forgiven. His Word says so. It just flat out says so. And we're supposed to love one another. And there are people, you ain't gonna believe this, some of you people get on my nerves. You really do. But I guess we're kind of sort of even, because I'm pretty sure I really get on you guys' nerves. I remember one time, very plainly, right in this very room, Katie Martin told me, right to my face, "You're annoying." <laughs> Isn't that wonderful? We can be honest and truthful, but not be destructive. You know, but we also, we need to be careful of our words. When you look into the Ephesians 4:29, you know, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. You know, there's, as you can see, there's a whole bunch of stuff here he had me go through, and I praise him. And you know, we could be here for days, and I know of one individual right now that would probably just fall out and leave, and that's fine. I love him anyways. We cannot ever forget this one here. Bear with him. Let me make sure. Do you guys not get excited? I mean, really, really excited when you get in His Word. But then aren't there times when you're like, whew, sorry, God. Please forgive me. He's, there He is. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. And this is true, folks. This is true. And I refuse to believe, as I personally believe some people within this body of believers thinks, that God's only going to grow us so far. That's it. Just, you know, I'm going to save you. And that's it. Just go over there and sit and wait in the bus stop until I come get you. No, God's not going to do that. For I am confident of this very thing, and I'm confident of this very thing because His Word says, for I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ. You know, He's going to keep growing us. He's going to prune us. Sometimes it's going to hurt. But in the end of, at the end of the day, as undeserving as I know I will be, by His grace, He's going to welcome me into His open arms. And if that doesn't give you some sort of joy, I don't know what to tell you. I heard a guy say one time, and I personally do not believe and think and consider Christianity as a religion. Christianity is a relationship. Christianity is the one absolute difference that separates it from religions. You know, the Hinduism's got their deal, and then the Buddhist got their Buddha, and you got the Muslims who got this guy who's up there weighing scales, and you got the Jehovah's Witnesses that are just totally confused. And I'm just going to leave all that alone because I'm not here to badger anyone. I'm just here to say simply that Christianity is about the one and only true God. The God who created everything that is good in existence. The God who allowed His Son, Jesus Christ, to come and become sin so that our sins and our debt would be paid in full. The God whose Holy Spirit, who, by the way, if you don't know, in the second verse of Genesis chapter 1 was hovering over the waters. Jehovah's Witnesses don't believe that the Holy Spirit's real. Can't be. Why? God can't be in three places at once. Yeah, whatever. God's omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He can be anywhere, anytime, in any form he chooses to be. Remember, as I believe and I've been taught, the five ways that God talks to us. Through the Holy Spirit, through prayer. Anybody? Through the Holy Spirit, through prayer, through fellowship. I'm sorry, fellow.
Bible.
The Bible.
Circumstance.
Praise God. That is correctamundo. That's some born in Spanish, maybe, I don't know. But, you know, we're going to get on each other's nerves. You ever think how much we get on God's nerves? I can't imagine that kind of love, that agape love, that unconditional love. I mean, that just makes my... I have no words. None. And I would also, because I feel led that we're to remember this, and not just remember, but practice. In James chapter 5, I can't help but notice, and I say this with love, I do say this with love, faintly here, faintly, the turning of pages. Of course, I guess maybe some are doing it in a silent mode. Forgot about that one. For me, I praise God that He has me run the risk of getting paper cuts regularly. Pretty good, wasn't it? I want to try to get it. Hayden. I've had the hardest time remembering Sir Tanner and Sir Hayden's names. I always get them backwards. And praise God, they've been kind enough not to stone the old man. But His Word says in the book of James chapter 5, verse 16, therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now, I'm not saying we ought to set up a confession booth somewhere and everybody get in line and, you know, throw all your whatever's on the table. But there are sins in everyone's lives. And I just about, if I was a betting man, I'd bet there's some sins going to go to the grave. Let me invite and encourage you to, if it's something that's so seemingly horrific, that you just, nobody's going to know that one. Find yourself, seriously, find yourself a remote area. Whether it's, you know, somewhere in God's green, wonderful outdoors that's 100 miles from the beaten path, or if it's simply in the place where you live and there's no one there but you and the Lord. You know, and He calls us to go into a quiet place to pray for Him, to let all our requests be made known unto Him. But I encourage you, and the reason I encourage you to do this, because as of late, God has really shown me and taught me, you know, I mean, it's real easy to say, okay, God, I'm a sinner, forgive me. Please forgive me, I'm a sinner. Oh, God, you know, I'm just a sinner. Please forgive me. Own it. If you stole a pencil, ask God to forgive you for stealing that pencil. If you had an ill-gotten thought toward somebody, somebody cut you off in traffic, God forgive me for having that angry thought, for calling that person that name. Even though I didn't speak it, I said it. And as you know, God knows all things. He judges our heart. This is a muscle. Pumps blood. That's all it does. Just a muscle. He judges the heart. And I'm going to kind of get going with this because it's obvious that some are annoyed, and that's fine. I'm going to be praying for you. If spending time with God is burdensome to you, you're going to hate eternity. You're going to hate it. You know, I say that with love, but I'm just going to call it flat and straight. If anything pertaining to God is bothersome to you, I now know that I really need to be praying more specifically for certain people. Anyways, with that being said, Multimesk for being here. That's thank you. And we'll just close in a word of prayer. And may we be encouraging to one another and honking all day long. And you got something against somebody, put forth some effort. God has blessed me with the absolute wonderfulness a couple times in my life, without doubt, the amazingness of not only forgiving someone, but also being forgiven. It's amazing. Dear Heavenly Father, I just truly come before you, and it just dawned on me, Lord, I had to pray for your forgiveness, as I forgot to pray first. Lord, may I not ever take anything about you for granted. I know I fall short. I know that I am completely unrighteous. But I also know that you're God and you love me. You love each and every one of us. Not only did you tell us that you loved us, you showed us, as you allowed your son to hang on the cross and die in our place. Lord, as we go from here, I pray that the words that you have spoken this day, the words that I have spoken, Lord, I pray that they were pleasing to you. And I pray that they were helpful to someone, whether they heard it here this morning or are going to be hearing it later on. But Lord, help us to truly love you with all of our hearts, with all of our strength, with all of our mind. Help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Help us to sincerely put forth greater effort. I'm not saying to not be praying for those saints who are saved and maybe have some health issues. Sometimes it's like we're praying to keep the saints out of heaven instead of praying for the lost souls bound for hell. Lord, help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, but also help us to make ourselves available so that you can work in us and through us to do your will, to bring you praise, honor, and glory. All things I pray in Christ's precious name. Amen.